Yeah. Weights and measures, Leslie.
Yeah, that's you. Me again.
You're going to add a halftime person.
Would you let me jump in with you, sir?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Julie. Jump on in.
Go ahead, Julie.
Thank you.
I'm not following Robert or Betsy. Jump in.
Brian's.
I was trying to help you out.
Brian's bleeding heart. Gosh, me. Yes. While Amy was explaining what the previous motions were about, I think I heard her also say that an additional 11,000 would keep all of them at the 2012 levels, a maintenance of effort, in other words. And so I would like to move an additional 11,000 for whatever that OTR was. Sorry.
Second.
So which one was that?
82. So OTR.
82?
82. Or, yeah.
As target.
As target.
And so what's the total amount now?
11,000.
11 grand.
That's what I recall Amy saying would be.
You mean 11 plus the 20.
No.
This is a new one.
It's 11,000. It's just 11,816.
Maybe Amy should speak.
I'll second that. But then I have a question.
Okay. And then I have Brian. Go ahead, Logan.
So now my question is, Amy, you are going to distribute that to all of these programs, or is it just going to go to one program?
It would be up to my resource allocations committee. I can't say fully that it would definitely go to one spot or another. I would assume that they would want it to go to keep the program whole, if that's the recommendation.
Keep a program whole?
Mm-hmm. At the 2012 level.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Brian.
I just want to make sure I got that. So this is the same one that went from 25 to 20. Now it's 11.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
And my only other comment is I don't think it's really right of us to give an expectation to you how you allocate that money. That's my personal opinion.
Okay, Mark.
Okay. What's the number? 11. What?
816.
816.
It's on the screen behind you.
It's up there.
Okay. I respectfully disagree on this one. This is it's interesting that it only comes out in discussion, that the others, as is, are at the same level as 2012, and this one, even with that 9,000 in the original request, still wasn't at 2012's level. And I think that is a reasonable thing for us to request. And, I mean, if there's a way to make that more specific, so that's really what the vote is. In other words, we want to put 11,816 into bridges. That's what I'm interested in supporting. So...
That's what I assumed it would go for.
And Martha, I hear you, but I'm having a hard time supporting that. That's why I wanted to know. I'm having a hard time doing that because this is the program that is not spending all its money.
I heard Amy say they've had some positions open and haven't been able to fill them. Is that what you mean?
Yes, they haven't filled them at this time because they haven't had the applicants that they've needed to fill them. They haven't had the qualifications.
Right. So it's not that they haven't wanted to or anything. It's just that within the grant year, and this happens to us, sadly, you know, all too often, that within that year you aren't able to actually get somebody new in the position. That doesn't mean that the function has been eliminated or that they've decided not to do it.
Correct.
Well, it's not just one year.
I think we're ready to vote on this.
Can you read what's on the table?
$11,816. Pat, you have a question?
Can you clarify, is this being proposed as target or one dime?
Target.
Target?
Target. Mike?
I haven't had lunch, Frank.
Is this proposed with a direction to the department head or not? Or is it going to be allocated the department chooses?
Dooley?
I intended it for how the department chooses, with my understanding that that's what they were, that's where the number came from.
From where?
Choosing the program that Amy just referred to.
Bridges?
Bridges. So I can't tell Leslin other than that. That was my understanding.
Anyone else? I think we're ready to vote on this. All in favor of adding 11816 to the target for Amy, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, opposed. 4. Thank you. 4-8. It failed. We are back to weights and measures, I believe.
Da-dee-da. All right. So I'd like to move to add a halftime position to weights and measures. I did not name it an inspector. It could be a receptionist that... I'm looking for somebody to help do the paperwork.
We got the idea. What it is.
All the stuff that Don is not able to do, that's what I'm interested in.
Okay. Is there a second to that item? Mike?
I'll second for discussion.
Okay. Brian?
I actually come on up because we had a brief conversation about this today, and we could make it short and sweet. Go ahead.
It was a surprise to me, but I am right now doing everything that I've done since I started 17 years ago. So even though there was two people previously, I have reorganized and improved the technology in my department to help consolidate the work, is what I'm going to say. So there is still stuff that I'm not getting done, but as far as the major devices, gas pumps, scales, fuel oil, trucks, all that sort of stuff, I am getting all of that stuff done. I'm not getting package checking, pricing accuracy, stuff like that done.
Or timing devices.
True. Timing devices.
Thank you, Brian. You have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah. That was the most of our conversation. Although the stuff that you're not doing, you said that really nobody else does it either.
The timing devices. Normally around the state, in general, they aren't doing a lot of those anyways.
Only on a complaint basis?
Yeah, only on a complaint basis.
Now, having said all this, I get a little fearful anytime you have a department of one. As it relates to, you know, whether it can be some sort of cross-training or job sharing, succession, although, he's not leaving for a while. But so I won't support this, but I would like to see us somehow move in that direction so that it, God forbid something happens, we're shutting down operation.
Did you have your hand up?
I did.
Go
I
ahead.
Did. So, Don, it's interesting for me to hear that because when you did your presentation, I heard something a little different in terms of what the needs are in your office. So I wrote myself a note about, my gosh, this man needs a body in there, more help. Well, they also, like Brian is saying, just thinking in terms of succession planning, what needs to happen. And this is why I made this proposal. If you do not think that you need it, I will withdraw my proposal.
I mean, I could put somebody to work. There's no doubt about that. It's just at this particular time, with the budget coming back slowly, I'm not sure as it would be.
You do not need it. I will withdraw my motion.
Thank you.
I don't agree to that at this point. I want to discuss it more.
Okay.
I was the second.
I will withdraw my motion.
I want to make a comment.
Oh, why not? Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. I guess if not now, when?
Yes.
And I'll emphasize the word when, because I really think it was good that you brought this up, Leslin, and I think that we need to be
be having in our mind, when are we going to address this? Brian, you're absolutely right. There's no redundancy here. Don's been doing a terrific job for us and all by himself, and I appreciate that. But we need to think about how we are organizationally also. And so if we don't do this this year, I hope that facilities can look seriously at it next year and the county administration could look seriously at how can we get to a point where we get some redundancy in this department.
Frank.
Thanks, Jim. Don, consumer protection is really paramount. And if you're not getting at checking packages, you know, there's a lot of people that think 12 ounces makes a pound. And even though they've changed the coffee cans for 11.58 ounces, it's really a little disconcerting. We have had a lot of new stuff come on, too. And I know I appreciate the fact that you're able to get around and do what you do. But can you say what you're not, what you're missing because of new things coming on? Because maybe a part-time person would really help you out.
Yeah, the pricing accuracy is probably the newest thing that's come out, and that was about 3 years ago. It's on a – it's not – the state passed the law for it here in New York State, but they don't mandate it. I mean, it's there. We can do the work. But they don't get on our case if we're not doing it because they understand we're all understaffed. So there's pricing accuracy. Package checking has always been around since ancient Egypt, whenever they started packaging. The other things that I'm not getting done is timing devices, which I already said. Most of the counties around the state aren't getting them done because it's very low on the priority list.
What does that mean? And what's an example of
A timing device, car washes, laundromats,
yeah.
Okay. Parking meters.
All right. Thank you.
All right. The last comment on a withdrawn motion.
It's still on the table.
Did she put it back?
It's not withdrawn.
You put it back?
Sure did.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
When Mike Lance speaks, I put stuff back.
Oh, gosh, where was I? Sorry. Go ahead.
I would...
No.
I think that the idea of cross-training sounds quite interesting, and perhaps there's somebody in, whether it's facilities or maybe it's another county, that we could share some work or something like that. I think it'd be great, Don, if you could think creatively about that as a challenge for this coming year. And if that means training some of the training money, then we create some of that redundancy, but I don't think we should do it at the cost of hiring a new person at this point. I hope there would be some other ways to work that out. Me?
You're on.
All right. Sorry. I don't know if it was on the duties watch or Carol's watch, but Don, didn't we look into shared services with Cortland County? Mike, you remember that?
Yeah.
What Martha suggested?
Martha just said we looked, at
we looked into
ago.
All of it 2 years ago. Wasn't working. At the Facilities and Infrastructure Committee level.
Okay, this is still on. This is still on the floor. Are we ready to vote on this? Martha?
I got to say, I've heard a very lukewarm, yeah, I could use a half a person. We have so many serious priorities in this budget that aren't being attended to. I really can't support this right now.
All in favor of this resolution, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. One, two, three, four, five, six. Opposed. 6-6.
All right.
Leslin, you're still there. Cooperative extension. Remove support for structural deficit, $42,000. And it's in one time. You want to move that?
Yeah, I'm going to move it.
Is there a second? Die for a lack of a second.
Good, because I was going to withdraw it anyhow.
Okay.
Who are the Giants playing again?
What?
What team are the Giants playing? I feel like that's
all the team right now.
We can talk about it for 10 minutes if you'd like.
Thank you. And I am...
How about TCA? TC Action.
Let me just say...
Wait a minute. How about the Human Services Coalition?
The Human Services Coalition. I'm just saying, I have that on there for the same reason that I was supporting a one-time for the personnel department and training. Since that did not go through, I'm going to withdraw that motion. Somebody else can bring it, and I will also withdraw TCA.
Seeing no one else wants to offer those, okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, may I just add one thing to cooperative extension? I know there's not a motion on the floor, but I had a chance to talk with Ken, and my understanding is that this has been a one-time funding for this position. He's had a hard time getting somebody in there. I thought maybe interns can, you know, technology interns can help. He has somebody good in there, so my expectation is that I'm not going to see this again next year.
Okay. Next one, TCPL, remove funding for tech upgrade.
We did that already.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah, I'm not really paying attention.
We all hungry.
Proto hydrilla eradication.
Yeah, I'll move adding the $40,000 in for hydrilla, and if we get a second, I'd like to talk about it.
Is there a second to this?
That's one time, right?
Yes,
one time. $40,000 one time will. Okay, discussion, it's on the floor. Raise your hand if you want to talk about this.
Could I?
Besides you. Anyone else?
The
Martha?
This was removed, was not funded, because the explanation was that this really should be a state expense. There's a gazillion things in this budget that ought to be a state expense. The effect of... not replacing some of this money is serious, because the Soil and Water District has already done the work, and they've done it three times. The applications cost anywhere from $250,000 to $350,000. They just did another one at the end of September, the beginning of October. It's the last one. I'm proposing it as one time, because there is a hope that next year there will be some help from the state, particularly because of a new wrinkle. Ed, I'm glad Ed is here. Did they discover it in the Erie Canal, or it was someplace else that they think that they've come up with hydrilla? Do you remember reading anything of
Town of Tonawanda?
So we're hoping that the state will come through, but some of us have approached Senator Schumer, who was here for a photo op about a month and a half ago, and he expressed support for it. And we're hoping that perhaps we can get him to do something at the federal level. But the district has already spent the money, and as you know, they're trying to reconfigure some of their expenses, and it looks very good right now. We're supposed to have a meeting with Joe by the end of the month. So we'd like very much to have all of this or any portion of it so that some of the expenditure can be replaced. Thank you.
I have Martha, Brian, Peter.
Pat. Roxy Johnson was at the TCOG meeting earlier today, and She told the group there that the money this year, that they didn't have to spend quite as much as they expected, because they didn't find it in the lake this year, which was great news. And the money, there will be money left over that will go to next year. She's not, it's still unclear that everything will be covered. In particular, the main gap she feels there is outreach and education, which she came to TCOG asking for the municipalities to set something aside in their budgets for that, not for soil and water, but for outreach. Now, I feel that, you know, Joe and I went to Albany at least once just for this, maybe more, I can't remember. We spent hours and hours in meetings to get the money that we got. And I think the quickest way to get the state to back off is for us to fund this. If Craig has a problem with work that's not compensated, he needs to help give us the information that enabled us to get the money in the first place, in the time that we need it. And Joe and I have already talked about setting up meetings with the delegation after the election to talk about a couple things, and this is one of them, to give them a report. Here's what we found, here's what we spent, here's what's left, here's what we need. I think if we start putting property tax into this, they'll say, oh, good.
So you're not supporting it, right? Why don't you just come to the point?
That's right.
Okay.
I will go to Albany and fight for it. I'm not gonna, I don't want to pay for it here.
I want to jump in on that later. Brian, Peter, Pat, Mike.
Just so I'm clear, this $40,000 is not actually for the physical eradication. It's for staff time that was used for permitting and
right.
That sort of stuff, right?
That's
okay.
Correct.
All right, thanks.
Peter.
Well, I know Frank doesn't like me to say it, but I am a little bit confused. We have nothing in our ongoing budget for the time in the future for us to be putting money into this hydrilla eradication. I mean, even though there are tremendous uncertainties, is that correct?
Joe, do you want to?
We have a fairly significant in-kind. We've Liz Cameron, for example, is actively involved in the team that's dealing with it. But in terms of cash in the budget, there is no cash in the budget for this. And again, it's been said before, but we have to remember it's a state waterway that we're talking about here, and it's really incumbent upon the state to deal with this problem. I think we have shown we're a very supportive partner, and when push comes to shove, if help is needed, we've been there to provide that help. But there's no allocated amount of money in this budget, just in cash to kick in to the cause.
Okay, but if I vote against this, am I putting the lake at risk or not? I gather not from what you're saying.
In my opinion?
Yes, in your opinion.
No, you're not.
Okay.
We'll still go to bat and try to draw down that state money. Mm-hmm. And again, when critical events have happened, the county's been the first to step up to help.
And we will continue to do that.
Yes.
We won't say, well, it's Albany's fault and we're not going to do it, then to hell with the lake. Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
I have Pat and then Mike.
Well, I appreciate what everyone's saying in terms of the county's willingness to step up to the plate on this issue. I think that's very true. I'm very appreciative of the time and the effort that you've put in, and Martha and Joe, and working with our folks in Albany to try to get the money that's needed for this. But when we say things like this is a state waterway, that may be true, but it's also our waterway. This is our lake. And when it comes to this eradication effort, there have been some points along the way where, because of the timing that was necessary in order to accomplish the job, certain steps of the eradication had to be done then. And there wasn't really time to go to Albany and say, we need more money for this step, because if we didn't invest the resources, in this case, the human resources, pretty much into doing what needed to be done at that point, that could have been an opportunity lost that would have allowed the hydrilla to get beyond the point where that small investment could have resulted in a much larger investment if it hadn't been made at that time. And the people who are most closely involved with this and working right on the ground and checking it every day realized that that needed to be done, and it needed to be done then. So should they have come back and gone through a process of going back to Albany? One could make that argument, but there's also a way in which there's been a huge investment already in this effort, and by doing what needed to be done at the time that it needed to be done, it helped to protect that investment that had already been made. So I would hate to think that we couldn't, as a county at this point, because of the political necessity of making sure that Albany knows that this is their problem, not replace the money that the districts already had to put in to taking care of this problem.
I have Mike.
I wonder if this wouldn't be a candidate to put into the contingency fund to see whether we do get the state and federal money that might be out there. And I'd be willing to move that as an amendment.
Is there a second to that? Pat? Discussion on that? All in favor of moving 40K into the contingency fund, please raise your hand.
Excuse me, clarification. Are we amending the Frank's motion, or is this the final vote on?
Is
it friendly to Frank?
You're amending Frank's motion.
I would consider that friendly.
Let it be on the May motion.
Okay. The seconder, are you that friendly, Will?
Yes.
Brian?
Before we do anything, I'm sure there's a logical reason, but I heard that there was money left over from this year's efforts. Is it not possible to use some of that money to pay for expenses that we've incurred already in that effort? I take it not.
Have at it.
Thank you. The monies that apparently, I wasn't at the TCOG meeting, but the monies that have been allocated by the feds and in some cases the DEC were specific to the treatment, the chemicals that could be used. If Craig could put in for reimbursement for time, and that's the part that's eating everybody alive, if they could put in for that, It would be wonderful. Roxy Johnson has, from the city, mm-hmm. has been spending almost full. The city has come across real well mm-hmm. with funding her time. Just as Joe mentioned about Liz Cameron from our health department has been devoting a lot of time to this. But they can only be counted as in kind. The reimbursement for their time hasn't come across yet. Soil and Water has the same thing on the line for permit applications and all everything else. I mean, Craig could probably make an enumerated list. What he's told us, Pat and I, as you remember, are both on the district board. What he told us is that they can't, Soil and Water can't afford to do this another year. If there needs to be more work gone into it for another application or whatever, an application being a treatment of the inlet, mm-hmm. we're going to have to look someplace else because they don't have the money, or they're taking money away from other things that they should be spending time on in order to accomplish this, and there's no reimbursement. So while I tease Martha a little bit about it, I believe me, I appreciate what you and Joe and a bunch of us also going to Albany and fighting to get them to realize that they have an obligation here too. But the tourism industry in our county, if that inlet plugs up with hydrilla, there isn't going to be a boat or a kayak or anything else that's going to be able to get down that inlet. And that's a concern. That really is. So I'm hoping if we can set the money aside in contingency to see if the state comes across, that's at least a step in the right direction. It doesn't reimburse Soil and Water directly, but at least it'll show that our hearts are in the right place. Thanks, Jim.
I wrote myself in here. The other evening I heard an interesting argument on one of the programs that we had that we were going to replace state funding. And it was said on the floor that maybe the state will see the wisdom of, you know, change their mind and recognize their mistake. This evening I heard the quickest way to lose state funds is to put $40,000 in the budget. So I'm not going to support this.
Take your pick.
Going to the contingency fund. Martha?
Pat, with regard to the scenario you outlined, all of the work has been done without the money coming through yet. It's still in the $25,000 has been paid so far out of the $800,000. The rest has been working its way through the DEC's contract system. Who knows why? Roxy said she thinks they've passed like almost the last hurdle. So they've done the whole year's work. You might say on spec or on pledge that they will be reimbursed. It's not a cash flow issue. That they, you know, they're doing it without the money up front. So I think that's not an issue. And I have asked Roxy for a clear statement of what's been done, a clear statement of how much was spent, how much is left, what more they need, so that we can take that to the senators and to Barbara. And I think us putting money in at this time, before we have that reckoning, just weakens our case. You know, it says to the state that, you know, well, they can start shaving the way they do with everything else, and we'll pick up the tab.
Someone else? Brian, do you have your hand up?
No.
Anyone? Pat? I guess you're the only one. Oh, Peter, you had your hand up?
I did, yes.
Yeah, Peter, then Pat.
Having listened to this and thinking that I now understand it a little better than I did before, I frankly don't see the point of this motion that Mike made. The money is there. Joe gave me his strong answer that if it's necessary to do it, we'll come up with the money. So the money will be there. I don't really see any advantage to announcing it in advance, which is what that transfer means. I honestly don't think that Governor Cuomo is sitting and looking at our budget and saying, ha, 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 here's a way to save us money, but maybe he is, who knows. But I don't really see how it helps to do that, so I'm going to vote against it.
Let me just interject here for a moment. I heard some statements from Governor Cuomo the other day, said solve the problem at the local level. Go ahead, Pat. It's you caused the problem, you solve it.
I appreciate what you're saying, and I agree that that's what we've heard, Martha. The thing is that my understanding is that even when that comes through, that that's not going to include reimbursement for the time that's spent by staff of the district. It's going to include the materials, it's going to include everything they needed to use to do
sure
it.
I'm not sure that's true. We put in a budget of $800,000, and that's what they promised. So.
But that's not what we've been told at this point. So my thinking is if we were to set this money aside in contingency, that would allow that to be covered, that time that's been spent. If the money comes through from the state, fine, that's great. But if it doesn't, then the money would be there to cover it. And I don't think that they're going to pay reimbursement for that time.
We're pretty much involved. Are we ready to vote on this?
It's yeah.
$40K to the contingency fund. Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's defeated.
We're getting in the groove, right?
So that's a no, right?
Yes, it's 6-6. Robertson, new capital, remove unallocated capital funds from the capital program 76689.
Right,
target
so
reduction. You want to move it?
I'll move that.
Is there a second?
I can explain it. It's on, Kevin, which page is that? What? It's in your capital program. Okay, go to Section 3, page 1. If you look at, you know, where the top part was this discretionary total, just above the line that says one time, it says capital maintenance to be determined, 76,689. That's the amount. And I asked Kevin what that was, and he said that isn't allocated. That's says unallocated. It's not set aside for anything. It is meant as sort of to get us on the way towards a larger bump up next year, which is proposed in our new capital 20-year capital plan. So nothing would be delayed if we didn't do this. Nothing would be cut out if we didn't do this. It hurts us next year a little bit. But this comes out of the tax. This comes out of the property tax levy. That's why I'm making the motion.
I have Pam. I have Peter.
Why is this in the budget? I didn't. Did you explain that? I don't understand why that. I didn't get that.
It's a little bit of advanced savings, but Joe or Kevin could probably do a better job.
Yeah, we did. We did talk about this when we presented the capital program, but there is a certain amount of unallocated dollars, which is there really to do two things. One is to maintain the current base of capital spending so that as we ramp up next year in the capital plan, we build from a higher base, and it's about $76,000. And the reason that it's there is not only because of that desire to build up that base, but because there are projects that come along over the course of the year that don't have money to be applied to them. The one that comes to mind most immediately would be we've talked about some modest changes to the public safety building that would allow additional beds to be put there. And with a relatively small amount of money, we can achieve some pretty significant savings. This would be a source of funding for projects, small ones like that. So it's really twofold. One was to build that baseline. As you look at the pending capital improvement plan, it builds on this base. But second, the knowledge that there are always capital projects that arise during the course of the year that would be able to be supported with this money.
Can I have a follow-up?
Sure.
So what if that money is not there and say something comes along? What do we do?
You'd either have to pull it out of a contingency account or out of reserves to pay for it.
I have Peter.
Well, I never know whether I'm understanding these financial shenanigans, but my simple understanding of what's going on here is we're reducing the tax, reducing the tax raise by taking money out of reserves. Is that, no matter what you call it, that's what it is. Is that right, Joe, or not?
Not in this case.
Aha.
And
okay.
It's not shenanigans.
Yeah.
There is a capital budget. Within the capital budget, there's about $76,000 of cost in there, and it's currently unallocated. There's not a project that money is going for at this time. So it's simply in your baseline of expenditures for capital purposes. So that's the way it is right now. So there's not a specific expenditure or project tied to that money. So Martha's amendment would say, since there's nothing specific attached to it, if you remove that $76,000, you could lower the levy by $76,000, and you wouldn't affect the project. And that's correct. The effect would be, come next year, as we have a more robust capital program, you would have to build your baseline up by that $76,000 that you'd be reducing it today. And also, over the course of a year, there are minor capital projects that arise, and this would be a source to pay for those minor capital projects in 2013.
And if we didn't do that, what would happen?
If you didn't do that, and a project like the little one at the public safety building, if that happened, then we would need to go to our contingency, and if our contingency wasn't adequate, we'd have to go into our reserves to pay for that improvement.
Let me just make a comment about the shenanigans comment.
Yes.
They don't do shenanigans. What we're doing is a shenanigan with this by taking money out and just lowering.
But he told me it wasn't that. No. He said it wasn't that.
No, that's what we're doing. Okay. Go ahead, Martha.
No. This, as it's proposed, this will raise new property taxes by $76,689 for which we have no designated purpose. This is not moving money from fund, from reserves into...
You are moving it out. Your motion is to reduce the target by this amount of money.
That's right. The proposal here is to raise property taxes by this amount as advanced savings, in a sense. It's a smart idea. It's, you know, I'm not saying it's not a smart idea. But I have to ask, is that... Where did the tax levy go, number go?
357.
This 357.
357. Was reduced from 3.75. When it was 3.75, if you take this money out, it's now down to 3.57.
That's right.
And we started at 3.48.
Okay, but we are, in other words, we're not. This is not taking current savings we have and putting it towards ongoing expenses. That's what we sometimes we're starting to think of as shenanigans. That's the. Just taking, you know, fund balance so we can lower the tax rate, tax level. That's not what this is. This is, if we leave this in here, we are affirmatively raising a new $76,000 and putting it in the bank for the capital program. And I'm, you know, I think that's, if these were good times, if this was, you know, 1998, that'd be a really smart thing to do. But this is, right now, in the light of all the rest of this, in the light of trying to get 8 votes to pass this budget, I think this is one of the less bad things that we can do, and that's why I've offered it up.
Brian, Frank.
Thanks.
Julie. Mike.
First off, I thought you were going to withdraw this. Didn't you say that, like, an hour ago or something? No?
No.
I'm one, I would try to keep down the levy target anytime as much as you can. However, I'm looking at the 214 capital projects column, and that money's already spent, and there's probably a good chance that we will spend that on projects that we already know about, i.e. the jail, possibly the place next door, lots of places. And even if we don't, yes, we have raised the levy a little bit for this year, and that will be that much less, which is already built in for next year. So it would be that much less that we would have to raise the levy next year to pay for, you know, the capital projects that are already there.
I'm Frank, Dooley, Mike, and Pam.
I just want to get clarification. Joe, is the 76, is this money already in the capital program and set aside? It's not designated for anything in particular, right. But is it already in the capital program?
Yes.
As I understand it, it is. It's already been provided by a tax. We have set it aside already. Correct?
I'd like to agree with you, but I don't think I can. This is proposed in the capital budget.
Right.
So Martha is correct in saying this affects levy. So this affects levy to the tune of $76,000 or whatever that amount is. I think that the strategic question that you're really bringing to the table now is how will an action today affect the 20-year capital plan that will come to you very soon that is going to look for consistent levy increases to pay for a lot of infrastructure needs, including some that are deferred, and where you start that process. So in terms of the 20-year plan, it builds on a certain base that is our capital budget for this year. If you diminish that budget
you'll have to replace it.
You'll have to replace it, or you'll have to diminish the projects that you do next year. So, again, in terms of the strategic issue, that's the issue. In terms of today's issue and affecting the budget, Martha's correct. You could take out the $76,000, and we wouldn't have to cancel a program to be able to cover that.
To cover it. Yeah. The budget you presented to us reflected that, the percentage reflected this being in.
That's correct. That's correct.
Thank you.
Dooley, Mike, Pam, Leslin, Martha, Peter.
Okay. My recollection from the Capital Program Committee meeting fairly recently was that the fuel island for the highway department has to be advanced into this coming year, which will use up at least 10,000 of the 76 that Martha has identified as unallocated, which is the way it's listed in our capital program. I was not going to make any motions on the capital program tonight, so I am sorry that I didn't get this prepared with Kevin, but looking at the 20-year capital program, there are years that are in the red at the proposed level of addressing our capital program. We all learned from the 2006 one that it takes, if we could raise the levy 1% a year, it would cover our capital needs over 20 years. We are not doing that. It's been changed to 0.5% a year, except for 2014 and 15, where it's, I think, 0.75% a year, to try to avoid all the red ink as in the outer years. And as I was looking at this, I wondered what we could raise it. And there's no raise in 2013 for the capital program. So I was wondering what we could raise the capital program amount for 2013 that would get rid of the red ink in the future and try to level out the tax levy over the years, because that's something that we've always tried to do for our taxpayers so it didn't fluctuate widely up and down. And if we raised it 0.2% in 2013, that would bring in $105,000 for 2013, which would go into the unallocated portion to the extent that we didn't need it right away, and it would help level things out. And I was going to make that motion, and Kevin was going to help me write it up, but I didn't do that. That, to me, is a much smarter way to handle the capital program than to remove what's unallocated now and put us even further in the red as we see the totals going forward. So I am definitely opposed to this. I can understand its attraction to you, Martha, when you're trying to keep the tax levy down, worried about 8 votes. But I think legislators are wise enough to understand that this is not a good thing to get rid of. So I will oppose this motion.
Mike.
Yeah, I just want to say the Capital Plan Review Committee will be proposing a plan to this group that will start with the 2014 budget. We really didn't want to get it overly confused with the capital plan that we've got for the 2013 budget here. I certainly think we should leave that $76,000 in the budget for next year as proposed. I'm very worried that in capital plan we talked about advancing some of these projects. The fuel island was mentioned, for example, but I don't think we'll have as much flexibility in doing that if we take this money out.
Pam,
I pass.
Leslin,
where's that money coming from?
Property.
The 76.
Property taxes.
Property tax.
Yes.
So it already exists.
No.
It's in our base. So
it's in our budget. Never mind. Yeah. Never mind. Got it. Thank you.
Back to you, Martha.
It already exists. It's proposed.
It's in the recommended budget.
We don't already have a target amount that says 76,689 somewhere that this is a continuation of.
Right.
No.
So this is in our
recommended budget. It's there, and it's supported with property taxes, with general revenue.
And it's a new $76,000 that wasn't raised in the base last year.
It was.
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Other things were paid off, so we had a dollar amount from the year before.
So then we carried that dollar amount forward, and we said, instead of just giving this money up,
okay,
we're going to keep it here as a placeholder for future years when we have larger projects back on.
Okay. All right. But it's, at this moment, not attached to anything.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, I'm still not clear on that explanation.
Okay. So if you look at what we spent for capital in 2012,
uh-huh,
and you call that the baseline, I think this just maintains that baseline. Okay? So, much like any other budget, when you look, what's really happening in the budget is the variation from year to year in baseline.
Mm-hmm.
So we've tried to keep the baseline for our capital spending relatively flat in 2013. And in keeping it flat, there was $76,000 that is in there that, again, currently isn't tied to a specific project.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not raising the capital budget from 2012 to 2013. We're basically flattening that budget out.
Thank you. But the expenditure went away, so we don't. It's money that doesn't have to be spent. We're saving it now.
Right.
I mean, was it my turn? Oh.
Yeah. Why not?
All right. Thank you. We're close to the end of the list here of motions, and it was 3.75, you know, up there. I mean, if we have 8 votes to pass a 3.75 budget, then I'll withdraw this.
Well, let's see.
Because I don't think this is a, I just think this is a little less stupid than the other things we'd have to cut to get down to 3.5.
Martha, I understand your concern with 8 votes, but we haven't even made a recommendation of a tentative budget to move forward to the legislature.
I would say that I am proposing this. I think that I just think I would like to see if we could get down to a different, down to the goal that we had.
That's the way we started.
And I don't know of a better way to do it.
I think we understand that. Peter, you had your hand up?
Yeah, I've been flip-flopping after each talk, but I finally settled on something, that I'm going to vote against this because I think that, you know, you can do things like that. Say, well, I think in general we ought to be putting so much in, even though we don't exactly know what kind of needs will arise, we ought to put money into so that we have money in the capital fund when we have to do something. And that's sort of a reasonable strategy. But it's always tempting to say, well, no, this year, now let's not put it in because we don't know what there is. But the only reason we're putting it is because we don't know what there is. And to me, it just doesn't make any sense unless there's a good argument. You can make a good argument that says we've already made that fund balance so much that there's no point in putting anything more into it, so we ought to give that as relief to taxpayers. But that's not the argument that's going on. The argument that's going on is that we don't know if that's enough or not, but we want to give relief to taxpayers without knowing it. And I am just willing to stick with the feeling that we have put a fund there so that we have money to spend on these things when they happen, and we just ought to leave it there. So I'm going to vote against it.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you that chance right now. All in favor of Martha's resolution, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Opposed? 3-9. It fails. Maxi Proto.
Okay.
Capital program for bus reserve, $100K one time. Someone want to move it?
Oh, yeah, I'll move it.
Pam moves. Frank seconds.
Okay.
Discussion?
I would like to
talk
a little bit about it. TCAD put together a 5-year capital needs plan, and it was pretty startling when we started looking at it. Now, as I'm sure most of you know, every year the partners contribute a certain amount to the operations of TCAD. And then there's a separate fund for a capital fund, and we just voted tonight to fund that capital fund by $10,000 for our share, and that helps sort of ongoing capital needs, smaller things that we've just sort of been talking about here. But what we have at TCAT right now, we have this need that is quite substantial. For example, in the next 2 years, We are going to have, I think, 17 buses that will have passed their useful life. A bus costs about $380,000 a piece. So we're looking at, in the next 2 years, over $3 million in expenses for buses. Over the next 5 years, it all comes up to almost $7 million. If you look at our other needs in terms of our building, we are outgrown our building, but even if we stay in the building, it is going to require substantial money. And so what TCAT board decided was to try and put together a capital reserve fund and to anticipate some of the needs that we're going to have in the near future. So what we are asking the partners this year is to come up with $100,000 apiece to go into that fund in anticipation of these very substantial financial needs. We are suggesting that it go into the one-time expense, because one of the things that we are looking at, certainly from our viewpoint at the county, is what we talked about at, I think, our last meeting or the meeting before, about the possibility of having the mortgage recording tax. There's a part of the mortgage recording tax under our law that is allowed to go for transportation anyway. So it's something that we have been looking at for a year now. It is quite remarkable that it has taken us that long to gather the information, and we aren't finished yet. But it's something that I think is possible to happen next the year after this year. So I am asking that we do this in one-time money in anticipation of something coming forward from the mortgage recording tax.
Anyone else? Frank?
I just would like to add to Pam's comments. If we don't do this and start building and helping TCAT build a kitty, if you will, the three funding entities and the agreement that was signed, the three funding entities are on the hook anyway. If a bus dies in the middle of next year or the year after, the TCAT will come to the three funding entities and say, now you have to cough up $400,000,
$380,000, yeah.
The number Pam mentioned. This will soften the blow a little bit if we can set aside the monies and have it as a kitty, if you will. And there are 18 buses that are in need of being replaced, and this perhaps will help us begin that process. Thank you.
Peter, Martha, Jim, Will.
Is it true that if we do this, the partners will do it also, or how is that negotiated?
That's
right. I have something else to say after that.
All three partners have to vote or agree to do this in order for it to happen. So if we say yes and the city says yes, but Cornell says no, then it doesn't happen.
Okay. So the question I was going to ask is, what would you think about reducing that amount to $23,311? Since we've got already $76,689 as a contingency for capital funding, that we have a use for that now.
We are deteriorating.
Do
you understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, well... No, it's in our capital fund, and this is a capital project.
It would go into TCAT's capital.
No, all right, okay, never mind.
But we could...
Roseanne, Dan, Martha.
Do you, Pam, have any indication about Cornell or the city? Is it in Cervantes' budget?
No, I don't. I don't know. I haven't heard from Cornell at all. I think the city is interested in doing it depending on how it needs to happen. I mean, I don't really completely understand the city's position. But, I mean, clearly there's interest on the part of the city. I think that Cervantes has shown, you know, over and again, how interested he is in sustainable issues. So So I would expect that he would, if he could put it in his budget, that he will. I don't know that he has. But Jennifer Dodson, who sits on TCAT, has said that she's that there's clearly interest in seeing this happen. So I think that we should just move ahead on what we think is the way to go, and hope that the partners follow suit.
Okay, so we would know from the city by the time we vote on our final budget, but will we know from Cornell? So the idea, if we put this in here now, and then they pass their budget without it, city
right.
passes, then we then want to have a chance to take it out, right?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you should just take it out.
Okay, and will we know about Cornell by the time we would vote?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think if we pass this tonight, then I will get in touch with Cornell and say, this is where we are at, and we would like to know how if you folks are going to be able to help us out.
Okay, one more question for Kevin. The number, that 143,551, is that with this amount?
That is with this amount.
Okay.
Does anyone know from on the street whether the city has it in their budget or not?
No, I said it. It's not at this. I do not believe that the mayor put it in his budget, but I think that he has interest in making this happen. But Joe, you may know more than I do.
No, I think that's. I think you stated it well. And okay. My note is it's not in the budget currently.
Go ahead, you street person.
Well,
can I add one comment? We're getting mixed messages from the city. Some have said it's in his budget. Savanta even said he thought he had submitted it in his budget. And then others have said it's not. They're going to do capital programs Monday night. Cornell, Q told us at a budget committee meeting, at a TCAP budget committee meeting, that he believes Cornell will put in the $100,000. It's not carved in stone. It's not, no one signed in blood, but we had to begin by talking to each other. And I would say at this point, it all hinges on what the city is probably going to do. But we simply don't know the answer to that question at this point.
I have Will.
My question's been answered.
Okay, and then Brian?
Yeah. Just that I do know that the other part of the capital program for buses, the 10,978, is in the city budget, or is in their pile of to be discussed
items.
And I'm not aware that the $100,000 is.
It is not.
So. Yeah. Anyone else? Are we ready to vote on this? All in favor of the resolution or the amendment to add $100K to one time for the capital program for bus reserve TCAP, please raise your hand if you're in favor of that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. That passes.
Jim?
Yes?
I would just like my colleagues to know that my voting for this does not mean that I will necessarily support the mortgage recording tax proposal, which I have not yet seen.
No, why? The mortgage recording tax.
Oh.
That's a separate.
That's why we're elected officials. You can change your mind.
Okay. Next one?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I get the dubious distinction of doing the last one for the night when everybody is just primed to be involved in yet another one. But this is an important one, and I'm bringing it back because it is, and I had more information. I really feel like people need to look at this again. I checked to find out that it costs about $90 a day to have somebody incarcerated in the jail. And on average, it takes about 75 days. Everyone has one of these on your desk.
Right.
I don't know if you've read it or not.
Should something be moved, Mr. Chairman? Should something be on the floor?
Yes.
Sure, I'll move it.
And I seconded it. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. So 75 days from arrest to conviction or release. So for each person arrested, it costs us about $6,750 just to house and feed them for an average 75 days until they either are convicted or released. So in the last 5 years, OAR has bailed out 309 people. It would have cost the county $2,085,750 to house and feed those 309 people if OAR had not bailed them out. We are saving the taxpayers of Tompkins County a large sum of money and by supporting this OAR proposal. Providing this organization with an additional $10,000 is a small price in light of the substantial savings that OAR has given the county. So I really hope that we will pass this.
Peter Stein.
I agree with everything Pam said in spades.
Someone else. Frank? Martha?
Pam, Leslie. Just clarification. Is the $10,000 that you're moved, is it to increase the bail fund,
no,
or is it to increase OAR's operating expenses?
Operating expenses.
Thank you.
Martha?
I'm good. I'm supporting this.
I'm sorry to hear you.
I'll support this.
Okay. Leslie?
Thanks, Pam, for the clarification for where it is going. Never mind.
Are we ready to vote on it?
I see the votes. I don't want to.
Are we ready to vote on this? It's $10,000, as Pam described, to OAR, and the use of it was answered in the question. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 opposed?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It passes.
Woohoo! I was about to beg and plead.
Oh, yeah. We are down to the end. Does anyone have a motion in their pocket?
Yes, I have.
Peter?
My motion is to adjourn.
No. Martha?
Can I see what the tax levy is?
It is 375, right? 377. 377, sorry. Where is it? Oh, yeah. 377. Anyone else have a motion? Dooley?
No, I would like to ask what the difference is on our average house.
It's right here. And it's going up additional $3.09 for $160,000.
Compared to the administrator's budget?
Which means a total increase of about $21. The recommended budget was up $18.
Okay.
This adds $3.
Thank you.
Martha?
No. I would like to ask for a recess of about 10 minutes. I just, you know, I.
Do we have to vote?
Can we do that?
No.
Well, are there any other motions? Does anybody have any other motions? I mean, the next step is to move to accept this budget. And
I'll move that.
Here's copies of the resolution.
It just happens to be a resolution. I don't know if you can.
Captain will pass them around. You get that one.
It happens in our packets, on the desks.
What we need to do, you look at the resolution. Do you all have it on your desk?
No.
It's coming. And let me start from here. Down in the first resolve, the first blank line for a total tax levy amount of. And, Kevin, do we have a number for that we can put in?
Oops, sorry, say that again. I,
I think it's the 43,813,760, isn't it?
This is the, yes, this is okay. The property tax amount, 43,813,760.
There's not enough room to write that.
$43,813,000. $43,813,760.
And it's up there on the screen with a rectangle around it. And then a approximate tax levy increase of 3.77?
Correct.
Okay, that goes in the next line. And then the countywide average tax rate increase of?
6.80.
What's that number?
195.
1.95. And resolve further the action.
It's a percent figure, not a dollar figure in the resolution.
Right. I'm sorry?
That's right.
It's a percent figure.
1.95%.
Yeah, 1.95%.
That's not the resolution.
And then the increase of, on an average home, it is $20.83, right?
Correct.
Okay. I would move that. Is there a second to it? Peter Stein, discussion. Martha Robertson.
It doesn't, the resolution, I'm going to support it, but the resolution doesn't have the tax rate in here.
That's
the
tax,
tax
rate,
rate
increase.
But not the actual tax rate.
I don't think we've ever had that in.
No, this follows form. This is okay. A traditional form. And remember, okay. The rate will vary based on final assessment-based numbers and so forth.
Now, before we do anything, Leslin asked a question way back 3 hours ago. What happens now if we do this and moving forward from here? Kathy, do you want to give us the quick 25 words or less on that.
That was actually my question.
Or Will, I'm sorry.
I tell you, beginning from Murph into everybody.
The expanded budget committee meets and makes amendments to the county administrator's budget, which we've done. Following all those motions, the expanded budget committee approves a resolution to adopt the tentative budget that includes the approved amendments and recommends it to the full legislature. The legislature meets and considers the resolution, which is now on the table, by the expanded budget committee. If approved, the tentative budget is the document that is presented to the public for the public hearing. If the resolution to adopt the tentative budget is not approved, the county administrator's recommended budget becomes the default budget. Following the public hearing, the legislature will meet on November 20th, and at that time, legislators may make additional motions to amend the operating budget and capital program.
Any questions about that? Brian.
Not about that, but I have a general question. If you want to answer.
Yeah, go ahead. Come on.
Joe, is there any way that as we're out in the real world explaining this to folks, that we can explain it in such a way as here is the additional costs with reductions in state aids and, you know, the additional... basically the carve-outs that we have. You kind of know what I'm getting at? And here's the real increase, the one we created?
Yeah, I think so, Brian. If you're asking, can we show how much we lost in reimbursements for programs? You know, we lost like $600,000. So how much of what we're doing in this budget is to simply backfill that? I mean, if that's the kind of thing you're looking for, we can do that. We can also do, we can help with the preparation of the mandates.
The increase in pensions.
Yeah. Mandates. Yeah. $1.4 million in mandate increases.
And Kevin makes an important point where when you look at the increase in the levy and you look at the increase in the cost of mandated programs, they're nearly identical. So we can explain almost all of the increase in our property tax levy by simply what's happening with our mandated programs. Now, that's the simple explanation, but we can certainly craft a message that is honest, insightful, and people can understand. Yes. Poetic? No.
I believe Peter, and then Pat.
Yes, so I have a point of order here. Has this been moved that we accept this? Is this on the table?
It is.
Yes. Now, it'll either fail or it'll pass. I understand what happens if it passes, but what happens if it fails?
Well, then we would have to reorganize ourselves, have another meeting, and figure out a budget that would, you know, would pass.
Right.
And
do we have a meeting scheduled, another meeting?
Yes.
We have on 5:30 on Tuesday.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right.
It's been a long meeting, but I know.
Okay. Thank you.
Someone else had their hand up, Pat, I think.
I appreciate all the hard work that's gone into this and all the thought and care that people have put into their decisions and so on. And I am very glad you asked the question about how we would present this, Brian. And if you could do that, Joe, in terms of how we would then be able to talk about whatever budget we finally pass, I think that that would be a really good idea. But I cannot support a tax levy increase of 3.77%. And I can't vote to support that.
Oh, so you're going to vote no on even recommending it to the full legislature?
Correct.
Okay. Anyone else? Leslie? I'm sorry.
Thank you. Joe, about 4 hours ago, you were explaining the whole property tax thing. I remember last year we were very deliberate in making sure that we included in this what above the property tax cap this was. Given your explanation, I'm assuming that we're not able to do that in here.
With the new math, at this point we can't. If you want to use the old math, we can certainly compare what's up there to the 3.15% cap. That's the way we structured our budget. But I want you to know that by the time we're done with this process, it'll be a different number because of this new way to calculate the cap.
I'm asking, it was in there last year, and I'm also asking because I do get a lot of questions about what are we doing in terms when we set our goal in terms of the property tax cap. And I know folks who live in the city who, you know, feel some very high taxes because of the three taxing jurisdictions that are usually high, although they're all coming in low this year, have that question. And so I just want to know how best to explain that.
Yeah. And hopefully as this process moves, maybe even before, I'm not sure before Monday when you can meet again, but maybe before the public hearing or the next time we get together, we might have
some
the calculation together and we can stick that in, or at least we can explain it to you and the public.
Future math. I like it.
New math.
Thank you.
Martha.
Section 2, page 4, is the summary of our mandates for 2013. Now, percentages are so deceptive.
Yes.
You know, 3%, 2% of what is what matters. So if somebody, we might as well play that game. If somebody says, well, how come you raised the taxes 3.7%? You say, well, because our mandates went up 6.4%. Of what really matters. But that's the number Joe's talking about, is 1.3
Someone had
million.
To add up. I'm sorry.
That's a great sentence,
Mark. So I feel that this is, it's a public relations issue. It's a real issue. You know, the fact that the tax rate is only going up 2 cents actually does matter. And I guess I would like to see that in here somewhere because people know, if they think, oh, well, God, county taxes are so high, well, you say, well, the rate's only 680, and they know their school tax is 18 or 22 or 17 or whatever. So it does put it in a different context also. So, this is the battle we're in, that the state has been cheerfully lowering income taxes, not trimming any programs, and just trimming reimbursements to us. And you know, our governor has found a way to say, I'll try to be polite, so I won't say what he said.
Okay, Peter?
Yeah, I'd rather focus not on the public relations part of it, but what we ought to do. And I sort of consider myself a hawk on taxes and am reluctant to raise them. And I was opposed, actually, I voted against I think, I can't remember anymore, but I think I voted against voting to exceed the tax cap because I thought that we shouldn't do that at the beginning. We should do it at the end when we saw that it was necessary. But I certainly, given all of that, and I also reject the argument that says, well, $20 really isn't very much money. I think that it's $20 that bills on $20 every year and so on and so forth. I understand all of that. But I have now been through the process, and I will cheerfully vote for this because I saw the attempt to try to hold that down as low as possible. And frankly, I voted for many things that raised that tax cap, that raised the tax rate beyond the cap because I didn't think that it was decent to vote against them, given the situation. So that's my position.
Let me jump in and then Mike. I think it's perfectly legitimate to ask the county administrator for some information on how we should do something. But in all due respect to all the rest of you, we are the elected people. We are the ones who have to explain the budget out in the community. And I think we have a lot of very good information that we can do that. Mike, go ahead.
I would just say that I don't like the tax rate increase either, but I think it's an honest effort by 15 fair-minded people. And I think we need to send this out to the public for comment. If it weren't for the mandates, we wouldn't be doing this. We'd probably be talking 2%, real 2% this year.
Less than.
But we can't. And so let's send it out. Let's listen to the people and come back and vote.
And let me just say one thing, and I'll go to Leslie. The overall, out of every dollar, tax dollar in the county, I believe our budget consists of about 20% of that. Or 21-22% of all the money that's spent. Leslie? Another
speeches. Peter, thank you for, you know, saying that, you know, 20 whatever, $21 is not a sneeze for a lot of folks. It does add up and escrows change and people get themselves caught in a lot of stuff. For me, it's not even so much the tax, whatever, levy increase, all of those other things. But looking at this, there are things that are very important to me in this budget, things that I would rather not have seen us add money to and other things I would have preferred to see us add money to that didn't get included in this budget. And so that puts me in a real tentative position about where to go with it. But I will support it to send it to the public to hear what folks have to say on it. But I don't know where I'll be when it comes to the final vote.
Are we ready to vote on this? What we will be doing is sending it to the 5:30 meeting Tuesday, and there will be a legislature meeting on that day at 5:30. All in favor of moving this on to Tuesday at 5:30 at the ledge, please raise your hand. Yes, and I will support it. Opposed. The vote was 11 to 1.
I move, will you adjourn?
Second. Done.
We still have another item on the table.
Jim, thank you for your efforts.